Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 61 of Internet Marketing. This is the questions and answers show. I have with me in the studio, Kelvin Newman.
Hello.
Kelvin, we have a number of questions on the board today, but just before we start those, let's just remind people about getting in touch with us as he shuffles papers.
Yeah, one of the great things about going to the weekly schedule rather than the monthly schedule is that we've got time every month to do questions and answers. And fortunately, we've had quite a few people who have got in touch with us. So we're in the process of setting up a phone number so you can ring in and we'll have an MP3 there, recorder, so we can drop your MP3 questions straight into the show. But if you prefer to get in touch via text, that, you know, textually, as it were, there's two ways to get in contact. One is to drop me an email, which you can contact me at kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. So that's kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Or just drop us a question via Twitter. If you use the hashtag IMPC, it will pop up on mine and Andy's screen and we'll be sure to give you a response there, hopefully in the show. You can follow us both as well. I mean, my username on Twitter is at Kelvin Newman, all one word.
And my Twitter handle is Dr. Pod.
Yeah, so quite a few people find us on there and ask us questions as well. So that's, you know, I'm probably shamefully addicted to Twitter, so I'll always be on there. So yeah, so we've got a bunch of questions from a variety of people all over the world who listen to the podcast this week. So yeah, should we dive in?
I think it's five questions, starting with question number one from Gavin Hamar. Now, I'm not sure where Gavin is from, but he is asking about he was listening to the 12 Tools of Christmas. And he was thinking about ways to update Facebook using RSS feeds. And he mentioned sendable.com.
Yeah, so that was his talk. Because we were talking in that episode about what was the best way to update. We were talking about RSS tools that allowed you to automatically update to Twitter, weren't we? Mm. And saying that there wasn't an easy way to do the equivalent on Facebook. There were tools like Ping FM and those kind of things. But none of them that quite had that functionality. So Gavin, I think, works for sendable.com and he seems to think his tool will do a very good job of doing that. So I've not tested it out, but from what Gavin says, you know, his tool should be able to allow you to do that. So yeah, if any listeners do have any tools or anything that their projects they're working on that they think the listeners would be interested in, drop us a line, because yeah, we're happy to share those out with people.
Okay, Anthony Wilson of yomps.co.uk. He's in Brighton. I've actually met Ansi.
I've met him as well, actually. Yeah, nice guy.
Should you have separate business and profiles? Let me rephrase the question. Should you have separate business and private profiles on Twitter? Because Anthony's got three. He's got a professional one, a personal one, and another side project.
Yeah, because Anthony was saying in his case there, he had his Yomps one, so I think it's Anthony_Yomps, and then his own personal one, and he's also got this project, which is, I think, why you met him, wasn't it, the man about Brighton that he's doing, where he's kind of helping independent businesses in Brighton. And he said he's got, you know, kind of three profiles, well, or he could have three profiles for those different accounts. My general opinion is, and not everybody agrees with me on this, is that really most people should only really have one profile on Twitter, and that can encompass their personal stuff and their private stuff, as long as your work are kind of cool with that. Because I think you're better off having one well-maintained, well-used, well-followed profile than three kind of half-used ones, or two half-used ones. Because unless you really want to keep your business and work life separate, you're then splitting your fans across two accounts, you're splitting your updates across two accounts, and it's just really confusing. And I think you're bound to end up sending the wrong update out on the wrong account and that kind of
thing. Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with this. What I hate to see are accounts that are quite clearly businessy, and there's no human interaction on there. It's all bots. It's all sort of like whenever they do a blog post, it's new blog post at such and such and such. Yeah. You never see any human interaction or conversations going on. I think it's vital to mix in the human element if you're going to. I think doing a bit of. I was going to say the word botting, but it does sound very, very dodgy word.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, with the site visibility account, I think we probably fall a little bit into that trap where we kind of post our stuff there. But what we've tried to do with that account is say, okay, well, there's lots of stuff that we share internally. So it's just kind of a link sharing tool that hopefully people will find valuable. So anything we're producing, we put out on there. Anything that we've kind of got like a Company Delicious account that we use as well. So if we tag anything for the rest of the office, that goes out on there as well. Occasionally we'll sign in and share links as well. But the problem is, if there's a company and there's lots of you, it's going to be very difficult to work out who's responsible for that Twitter account. And unless there's kind of a real strong need for that, you know, it's kind of a primary thing you're driving, it will get ignored. And, you know, that's the sad truth, that for anyone who's working in kind of the marketing business or the information business, their, you know, most precious resource is their time. You know, it's how little time we have that's the problem. It's not how many things we could do or our skills or any of those kind of things. So I would say to Anthony in this case, I'd probably, if it doesn't seem too weird to be promoting all these different things via one person, do it via just one account. Yes, there might be situations to say you've got, you know, you're a professional lawyer and that's your, you know, the other account, but also by weekend and night, you're, you know, a, you know, hardcore trance DJ, and the two audiences don't match there, then there might be a situation to keep them separate. But for most people, the line between the professional and personal is, you know, it's a blurry, porous line between the two there. So I think it, you know, it's worth keeping them together. And there is value to that. There's people who I follow who are just search people or internet marketing people who are really into cycling. And I now go out cycling with them, and I never would have known that if they weren't mixing the two there. And again, people, you know, like I've started getting quite into coffee, and there's people I know I can go for a coffee, you know, a fancy coffee with now because they're into it as well. And sometimes these people are kind of quite nice people to, you know, meet up with, who otherwise I wouldn't have had that connection there. And it's kind of classic networking, isn't it? It's not just what you have in common that's businessy. It's the stuff outside that's probably how you'll make your friends that'll help you, you know, perform better as a business.
Actually, Anthony also asks, can SlideShare work for B2C businesses?
Yeah, so yeah, business to consumer businesses. So yeah, Anthony was one of the first people who contacted and viewed our secret screencast, which if anyone's interested, then drop me an email at kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com and I'll send them through the secret screencast that we did there, which was about SlideShare. And basically in the screencast, I talked a bit about some of the ways you can be clever in getting your screencast to go to the homepage easily, because it's not tricks, but there's certain things you can do that help you get up there quicker. And actually was like, oh, that really helpful, really enjoyed the screencast. I can see how it would work for B2B businesses, but what if you're trying to go after consumer businesses? And it's a less obvious fit, because essentially SlideShare, if you've not come across it before, at slideshare.net, it's like YouTube for PowerPoint presentations. So it's my favorite site. I think we might have an interview coming up at some point with one of the founders, if we can get our diaries to co-align as well, which would be great. But it's obvious for B2B, so like I can put site visibility ones up because, you know, a presentation about how to do SEO makes sense, you know, a presentation about how to, you know, start up a podcast makes sense, a presentation about, you know, anything that's selling to another business you can do, because PowerPoint's a format you would use to do that if you were doing it in person, so it makes sense to move it online. But very rarely, if you're selling to punters, do you say, hey, come into my shop and I'll show you a PowerPoint presentation. So it's a little bit harder there, but that's not to say it can't work. So I mean, Uswitch, they're kind of a consumer you know, brand. They've got their B2B, and we did some things for them where they did a kind of Uswitch guide to building a website, you know, and other kind of connections there. So there's interesting things you can do It's not one of the ones that's instantly I'm struck with thousands of B2C ideas for SlideShare, but don't just dismiss it as a B2B tool, because it's a great way to share slides, you know, slideware. And slideware can be, you know, a boring bullet point PowerPoint presentation, or it can be something visually stunning and beautiful. Mm. And if you can do that and that will appeal to your audience, then there's opportunities there. I'm squeaking my chair here, Andy.
Yes, sorry, you are. Well, I thought we had mice for a minute. Well, should we move on to the next one then? I hope I don't mess this name up. John D. Domencio. He's a celebrity impersonator from New York, apparently.
Yeah, this, I mean, I had a look at his website and yeah, you know.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Two firms look at his site and both recommend starting from scratch with a new CMS to get the SEO right. Is this a good idea?
Yeah, I think this is a common situation that I've heard from quite a few listeners over the months and that when we've been involved with the podcast, where they're like, okay, I've discovered SEO is really important. I want my website to be better in Google. But the website I currently have, people are telling me I can't SEO. Mm. And in almost every situation, there are things you can do with your current CMS, your current website, to improve the SEO. So you can change the mentions of your keywords. I would be very surprised if you had a system where you can't change your title tags at all. It might be difficult, it might be unintuitive, but there probably is a way of doing it. But quite often it is true that you are better off starting from scratch with a CMS. So starting a new website with the right information architecture that's based on your keyword research can work really well. But what I will say is, if someone does recommend, you know, getting a brand new CMS, don't just assume that a new CMS equals a better CMS, because some of the CMSs out there that people have built internally or have rebadged or have bought aren't that good from an SEO perspective. Mm, mm, mm. The ones we all, there's free open source ones that, you know, have varying degrees of SEO friendliness, but all can be tweaked to work well. Mm-hmm. So WordPress, which is largely a blog one, but you can build full websites in it. The site visibility website is built entirely in WordPress.
And if you use the all-in-one SEO plugin, that's even better.
Yeah, yeah. If you've got, yeah, WordPress out the jar, as it were, isn't actually that SEO friendly, but that plugin, the all-in SEO, you get that live and instantly it's tons better than most CMSs out there. There's Joomla.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Which, you know, kind of fits in a nice middle ground if a blog one wouldn't really work, but it's not too involved a project. Again, there's plugins that you can use that I don't like them that much, but a lot of SEOs do really swear by Joomla for kind of medium-sized sites, because WordPress is great if you've kind of got just content. But if you want a little bit of functionality that's a little bit more database driven, Joomla can work quite well there. And finally, Drupal, which I've not used a huge amount personally, but I've, you know, seen some demonstrations of the things they're starting to include there from an SEO point of view.
Mm.
And it's really, really powerful. There's a chap who I think you probably know called Steve Perkis.
I know Steve, yep.
And he did a demo at this Brighton SEO meetup we arranged a couple of months ago.
Mm.
And yeah, I think genuinely for a lot of websites, Drupal can do it all. There will be situations if you're building the next Amazon where you'll need to do something where you build it yourself. But for most people, one of those three will probably work. I mean, you've probably got experience of those as well. Yeah,
I mean, most of my experience is with WordPress, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And it's quite easy to install. There's nothing really difficult. I used to use Joomla. Joomla used to go under a different name, which I've completely forgotten. Mambo, I think it used to be known as. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan. I was never a fan of Mambo, but it's probably a lot better now as Joomla.
Yeah.
But I know that I did try and get into Drupal, but I stopped myself because I felt I was wandering too far off the reservation.
Yeah.
What was sort of concentrating on the podcast and things.
Mm.
But I get the impression it's very, very flexible, very, very powerful. When I spoke to Steve about it, Steve Perkis, I've got the impression that it's, you can build, I might be wrong, but I get the impression you can build bigger, more complex sites because of the increased flexibility in Drupal.
Yeah, I think the problem with Drupal is it's got a really steep learning curve. And once you've got over that, it's brilliant. But WordPress is actually the opposite. It's kind of, I think, provided you can do a little bit of web development, you can get WordPress set up. There's a lot of hosts out there that do kind of one-click installs. You buy
hosting, like Dreamhost,
You click install WordPress and it's there. And then it's like using an email account. But 100 times more powerful than like Blogger. So I think in John's case, I wouldn't like to say for definite, but I would probably say that a new CMS might be a good place to start there. And if you do, try and make sure that if you don't go with one of those three options, you're able to do the standard things that you want to do from an SEO perspective. So edit the title tags, give certain elements of the page certain markup. So you might want to make it an H1, you might want to make it strong so it looks bold, you might want to make it a bulleted list. Any of those things that you can do from an SEO point of view there as well. And make sure you've got simple, definitive URLs as well, because a lot of CMSs create huge kinds of duplication problems where you can get to the same page on 20 different addresses, Google find all 20 and then go, I don't know, and then just throw their toys out the pram and go to your competitor instead.
Does Google really do that?
Kind of metaphorically there, but I think that's kind of basically what they do in some situations.
Right, should we move on?
Yeah, yes. Glenda
Gourlay from New Zealand. I'm reading the questions, Mr. Kelvin.
Sorry, I'm getting all excited there.
Glenda Gourlay from New Zealand. She's a food writer, trained in nutrition and education and PR, marketing with my teenage daughter, Claire. She's written an ebook to encourage teenagers to cook. Actually, I must stop summarizing these emails in bullet points. I think I'll just read the emails in the future.
Basically, Glenda's situation is that she's written a book for teenagers about how to cook. But actually, it's transpired that a lot of people who are buying it are the parents of teenagers, and they're not so familiar with ebooks. So they're kind of like, oh, I don't know what an ebook is. And she's getting quite a lot of traffic, and the people who read it are really liking it, but very few people are actually turning into sales. One of the things that she said when in her email she sent across was that she'd been approached by a large publishing company about doing an offline copy, but she wasn't sure about whether that was the best approach to take. She's fortunate that she's had a sponsor so far who's funded all the development costs. So she's kind of in a quite fortunate situation that it's not like desperate, but she's a bit concerned that she's got this ebook. She's getting lots of visits, but only about 1% of the people who visit the site actually turn into a sale.
Okay.
So I would say 1% is a reasonably low conversion rate, but it will be in the probably, unless you're sending someone to a squeeze target landing page where there's very little options, it will be in the single figures there. So my comment is there probably is some way she can improve her conversion rate and look into tools like Google Website Optimizer where she can change some of the content on her sales page and see if anything happens there. But the fact that she's getting that positive feedback, she's getting people offline taking it seriously. She's getting press coverage there. I would say, there's probably improvements you can make there to make more of the traffic. And that's one thing I say generally is quite often internet marketers, you know, myself included, get fixated on getting more traffic. You know, bunging more people in the top of the funnel, when actually you're probably going to get a bigger reward just widening the hole at the bottom of the funnel, as it were, by converting people more frequently. So I would say she's only a month or so, or probably about 2 months now since she sent the question in. Give it some time, try and improve the conversion rate of those pages and then see where you are before giving up. She also asked as well, should she give up on ebooks and maybe make it more of a blog and selling advertising and all these kind of things? I mean, because you've got a bit of experience, Andy, in terms of you're going down the podcasting
line.
What was your feelings about ebooks versus blogs with advertising?
Okay, total transparency here. I am writing an ebook. It is a bit behind schedule. It's on podcasting. I'm hearing a lot of what I assume are a social media and internet marketing experts saying that ebooks days are over, and it's obviously not music to my ears. I'm not quite sure why they're saying it. I mean, my accountability buddy is a guy that we've interviewed on the show before called Ian Oswald, and he is just like me, writing a book on screencasting. And the clever thing that he's doing, he's already sold loads of copies even while it's being written. I mean, several tens of copies. But he had a massive community already from his Procast sort of community. And I think it's all to do with community. So I just wonder how much she's building a community and interacting with the people that are coming to the website, because I think that makes a big difference. If you can build up a community and trust, then I think that, I don't know, I think it just builds up a bit of trust. I mean, one thing she might want to try, and this is something that I've thought about with my book, is certainly when the book is written, maybe do an audio version of it, maybe read her own book out. Yeah. Or what she could do, maybe, an idea for me actually, is read out just excerpts of the book in audio and just see how those go down. And they get the full book out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think the thing with ebooks is it's great as kind of, you know, you've got a community, you've got listeners there, and they're interested in what you want to do, but you need to kind of make, you want to give away something that's even more valuable. So I know that we're working on a few bits and pieces where they're kind of, okay, here's what we can present in the podcast, but if you want something really more heavily involved, here's something you can sign up for and get a bit of information there. So I think that's an interesting approach to go down there. But if you've just created the bit you want to sell but haven't necessarily got the community to sell it to, it's going to be a bit of a struggle there. So I think in Glenda's case, that clearly there's a demand there for these kind of products. So maybe she could, you know, have a blog there with the advertising, with the affiliate deals, where she's regularly putting up recipes for teenagers, but then she's got the really nicely presented offline copy for people who want something that they can use offline. That would be my approach, rather than going down the ebook route, because I think from a recipes point of view, there's a dilemma that always having the paper, having the copy you can take into the kitchen is valuable. You know, the number of times I've got, you know, all kinds of sauces splattered over my laptop when I've taken the laptop into the kitchen to try and replicate her, you know, isn't that great? And yes, things like the iPad and the Kindle are a little bit more practical for those type of situations, but I'd maybe try and build the community, get all these people involved in selecting the recipes that make it into that final paper copy, because she's had that interest from a publisher, and then go down that route and then use the blog as a means to generate the traffic and the interest to sell lots of copies of that book. Because yes, everything's moving digital and online, but people like Seth Godin give tons and tons away on their website, but it means that they can sell thousands and thousands of copies of their book. So he gives all that away for free, but it's just because it gets you interested in his book, where you hand over the money and then he makes the money back that way.
You're mentioning hard copies of books. What's that website? Is it Lulu.com?
Yeah, Lulu.com. Yeah, they'll allow you to kind of self-publish on demand. So for a lot of people, the way that offline publishing works, and I've had a few friends who've worked on various books of various shapes and forms, is it's great if you can sell thousands of copies of a book. You know, you're okay. If you're only going to be able to sell hundreds of copies of a book, the traditional publishing model is never really going to work for you. So that's why websites like Lulu, where you can kind of print them off as you need them and sell them, and they look like, you know, they're just proper books there. Yes, they don't get through Amazon and that kind of thing, but if you've got your community and you're pointing them to where they can buy it, well worth exploring.
Right, well, I think that wraps it up for this week's episode of Questions and Answers. Any final thoughts, Calvin, before we sign off?
No, I think that's all from me. All I say is, keep sending the questions in, because, you know, there's lots of ones that come up that are, you know, are interesting things. You know, like, I love having these kind of discussions with Andy. So, keep pointing the questions in our direction.
Okay, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, we would really like to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, send them to info@ai-digital.com and feel free to send in MP3 files as well and we'll play them. If you're a subscriber, we'd like to thank you for your valuable time. If you haven't subscribed yet and you'd like this show delivered to your earbuds automatically, you can find Internet Marketing on iTunes. Just search under the Business and Marketing and Management categories. Or you can find us at Feedburner at feeds.feedburner.com/academyim. We'd also encourage you to leave comments on iTunes. Well, this is Andy White signing off, wishing you the best until we see you next time on Internet Marketing.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.